Hello, and welcome to TI Fluid Systems full year 2019 results conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Bill Kazira, CEO and President of TI Fluid Systems plc. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to TI Fluid Systems preliminary results presentation for 2019. I'm Bill Kazira, and I'm joined today by our new CFO, Ron Gorczynski. I'd first like to say how pleased I am to have Ron join our team, and I feel honored to have someone of his experience and caliber to work with me as part of the senior leadership team. In addition, I would like to thank everyone for participating over the phone today. Due to various meeting and travel restrictions and the interest in the highest level of personal safety as a result of the COVID-19 virus, we have decided to conduct today's meeting via conference call. If we skip the disclaimer, slide two and take it as read, I'd like to direct your attention, please, to slide number three for the agenda. Today, I'll be taking you through the key highlights for 2019 before handing over to Ron, who will take you through the group's financial performance. Following that, we'll be happy to take your questions. Let me first comment on the difficult environment we are currently experiencing due to the COVID-19 situation. It's too early to predict the final outcome of this unexpected virus, but we do know that it is affecting us worldwide. The situation is rapidly evolving on a daily basis, and all we know now is that the short term will have unfavorable revenue and margin impact, but we do expect to know more after the first half of this year. We certainly will update you then and expect to better quantify the effects of this. We appreciate your patience on that. With that, let us turn to slide number five, please. I'm very pleased today to report that 2019 was another solid year for the group, despite a year of significant global vehicle production challenges and decline. As a leading supplier of automotive fluid systems with strong market shares globally, we were able to leverage our product strengths, leading technology, customer relationships, and our global footprint to make significant progress on successfully executing our hybrid electric and battery electric vehicle strategies. However, prior to providing strategy highlights, let me first go through some of our solid financial results for the year. Although global vehicle production significantly declined by 5.6% in 2019, the group's revenue continued its trend to outperform global vehicle production by 210 basis points. In light of these significant global vehicle production headwinds, we also continued to deliver solid adjusted EBIT margin of 10% and adjusted net income of 150 million euro. Importantly, we generated strong adjusted free cash flow of 172 million euro. We are proud of these strong results, which help to differentiate TI Fluid Systems as a high-quality Tier 1 auto supplier. It's important to highlight that our strategy and business model continues to demonstrate sustainability and resilience of our business model, delivering both revenue outperformance and solid returns for the group. For those that have followed us for some time, you will recognize that the group has performed financially consistent over a very long period of time. We continue to achieve consistent high margins, and our adjusted free cash flow generation is an area of strength for us. Hopefully, investors are beginning to understand and value our business strengths and recognize this attractive investment opportunity compared to our U.K. industrial and European automotive peer group. With that, let's please move to slide number six. Moving into our strategy, as many of you know, during the course of 2019, the group continued to make significant progress with our electric vehicle strategy in terms of both new business wins as well as the launch of new thermal products in our plant in Morocco to support the two large electric vehicle programs we announced that we were awarded in 2018. The group continues to invest in its global thermal products, manufacturing footprint, and capabilities and this investment includes new extrusion capabilities and thermal expertise for hybrid and battery electric vehicles in the European region. And this location offers close proximity and related logistics benefits to our European OEMs. As a reminder, in 2018, the group was awarded orders for the design, engineering, and supply of thermal management products with two leading high-volume European OEMs for global battery electric vehicle platforms. If we combine these awards with our further expected orders for thermal products on these OEM platforms, we anticipate that we will have approximately 50% share for these thermal products on the combined electric vehicle platforms. The first of these electric vehicles will begin production ramp-up later this year. Now, moving to slide seven, I'm pleased to share with you that our battery electric vehicle strategy continues to progress with additional awards for thermal management business on other battery electric vehicle platforms with European, North American, and Asian customers. These awards are more regionally based, and although expected to be relatively low volume in nature, we continue to demonstrate our product and system capabilities in thermal products for battery electric vehicles. Our OEM customer relationships, along with our global footprint, vertical integration, and our lightweight nylon, rubber, and aluminum material capabilities all continue to play into TI Fluid Systems' strengths of being a global Tier 1 auto supplier, enhancing our market opportunity for electric vehicles. Most of our battery electric vehicle awards so far have been in the form of thermal fluid products and subsystems versus thermal fluid systems. We continue to believe that the next generation of battery electric vehicles are likely to be more systems-based, including additional products, and we will have increased content depending on the vehicle platform, size, and design. Accordingly, we expect awards to eventually develop into thermal systems, and these are going to be solutions that the OEMs look to further integrate thermal management competencies to reduce weight and to create thermal performance efficiencies. These thermal-based solutions could include additional products such as quick connectors, pumps, sensors, valves, reservoirs, heat exchangers, and other fluid thermal-related products. As a reminder, in a battery electric vehicle, there are reduced temperatures and pressures versus an internal combustion engine, so materials such as our engineered polymers or nylon can be used to reduce weight, which is one key area to expand battery range in battery electric vehicles. We believe nylon has upwards of 60% weight advantage when compared to the traditional materials of rubber and aluminum used in internal combustion vehicles for thermal applications. As battery electric vehicle designs continue to develop, we believe our strength in nylon material, along with our other current products and newly required thermal products, will represent significant opportunities for increased thermal product and system solutions matching many of our business strengths. Let's now turn to slide eight, and there you can see the group continues to support our OEM customers in their goal to reduce emissions and increase fuel economy with our plastic fuel tank and delivery modules and our thermal product technologies. In 2019, we're pleased to announce the award of a high-volume hybrid electric vehicle pressure-resistant plastic fuel tank for a Japanese OEM in North America. This plastic fuel tank utilizes our proprietary technology to reinforce the tank to handle increased internal pressures, which occur when the HEV is operating in the pure electric mode. This ITS design also nearly eliminates any hydrocarbon permeation from the tank by the insertion of venting components into the tank during the manufacturing process. The total lifetime units of these hybrid electric vehicle fuel tanks is estimated at 710,000 units based on customer planning volumes. With our recent wins in pressure-resistant fuel tanks, our hybrid electric vehicle plastic tank share is trending to greater than 20%, which is higher than our existing global fuel tank market share. We also continue to win thermal business on several hybrid electric vehicles and battery electric vehicles, helping our OEM customers optimize the thermal management of their electric vehicles' batteries, the power electronics, and the drive motors. We continue to believe that the growing hybrid and battery electric market trends will provide significant content expansion opportunities aligned with the group's strengths in fluid handling systems. With that, let's turn to slide 9, where we will show our revenue performance. As we look at global vehicle production in 2019, we can see that the market declined significantly by 5.6%. Yet despite this headwind, our revenue declined by only 3.5% at constant currency, or 210 basis points above global light vehicle production. Vehicle production declined in all three major regions, most significantly in China. Looking at Europe first, our European revenue decreased by 2.1% at constant currency compared to a more pronounced contraction of 5.9% in European vehicle production. In Europe, our revenue outperformance was a solid 3.8%. In 2019, the European market continued to experience impacts from the introduction of new European emission testing standards, resulting in the delay of some new business launches, especially for our FTDS segment, in the first half of 2019. Consequently, FTDS experienced an increased ramp-up in activity at the end of 2019, beginning primarily with strong tooling revenue. In North America, our revenue decreased by 8.6% at constant currency against a 3.9% decline in North American vehicle production. Our underperformance was driven by lower program launch activity when compared to 2018, along with OEM platform relocations, which were previously planned in North America, and moving product to Europe and to Asia Pacific, along with our current under-indexed position for large pickup trucks and large SUVs. We take this under-indexation seriously and are placing greater emphasis within the group on growing presence on this vehicle segment. This is not a monthly nor a decade-long fix, and we look forward to showing progress in this area sooner than later. Asia-Pacific revenue decline was the lowest for the group. Our revenue declined by 1.5% at constant currency, whereas Asia-Pacific vehicle production declined 5.6%, and most notably in China by 8.2%. We continue to see positive growth opportunity, particularly with our FTDS business in China. Revenue outperformance here in Asia-Pacific was strong at over 4%. It's important to note that we have strong market position in China, and we've held these positions for decades. We did see reductions in production schedules in 2019, given the ongoing U.S.-China trade and tariff dispute. However, and despite this, China and the Asia-Pacific region as a whole continues to be a major player in the global automotive market. Asia-Pacific produced approximately 46 million of the 89 million vehicles built around the world in 2019. Given its size and our strong market position, we believe this region will continue to be a key player in global vehicle production in the long term, and we are well positioned to benefit from this, especially in our growing FTDS and thermal businesses. Now, moving to slide 10, we are all aware that the spread of the COVID-19 virus outbreak continues to expand from its beginnings in China now to become a global pandemic. Protecting the health and safety of our people is our highest priority. We have taken proactive actions around the world, including travel restrictions and flexible work from home programs, amongst other actions. I'm happy to report that as of today, we are not aware of any of our employees that have been infected with COVID-19 on a worldwide basis. As of today, I'm also pleased to report that all of our China operations are ramping up and are operating. We continue to meet the resumption of our customers' demand, and to date have had no reports of any supply chain issues. We see a similar positive trend developing now in South Korea as well. The global impact of the outbreak of the COVID-19 virus is highly uncertain at this time. We will continue to do everything possible to protect our employees and are already taking a number of mitigating actions. But please know that some impact in the short term appears likely, and as I stated earlier, we would expect to know more after the first half and will provide you an update then. We thank you for your understanding and patience on this matter. At the end of the day, I do remain confident in our experienced management team, and we will continue to manage appropriately through this difficult environment. Now let's turn to slide 11, where before I hand over to Ron, I would like to remind you of our key investment highlights. We have an experienced management team, as I mentioned, with a proven track record of revenue growth and solid financial performance. We feel we are best positioned to manage today's new challenges. Secondly, we are a technology leader in highly engineered automotive fluid systems with strong market positions in our products. We are the number one supplier of brake and fuel lines and the number three supplier of plastic fuel tanks globally. We have global low-cost footprint together with a strong position in China where we have wholly owned operations. This has continued to our success in winning global business platform awards. Thirdly, we are seeing this success carry through to our thermal management products, systems, and plastic pressure-resistant fuel tanks and modules. We are strongly positioned for the electrification megatrends. Finally, we continue to deliver revenue growth with strong margins and free cash flow generation driven by our cost structure and our financial discipline. Thank you, and I will now hand it over to Ron to take you through our financial performance. Ron?
Thank you, Bill, and good morning, everyone. Turning to slide 13, you can see our revenue outperformance. As Bill mentioned earlier, our revenue declined year-over-year by 3.5% at constant currency, or approximately 2.1% ahead of global vehicle production volume levels. We continue to outperform automotive vehicle production in Europe, which makes up 40% of our group's revenue. Continued launch activity in our FTDS division helped offset overall market weakness. As mentioned earlier, our revenue underperformance in North America was driven by lower program launches, platform relocations to outside North America, and our current under-indexation of large trucks and SUVs, something we are working to improve. North America makes up 28% of the group's revenue. In Asia Pacific, our revenue outperformance was the strongest and benefited from new business wins in FTDS. This region continues to be attractive for us, especially in China, with our market opportunities related to electrification and thermal, as well as the continued conversion of fuel tanks to plastic from steel. Asia Pacific makes up 30% of our overall revenue. Currency translation favorably impacted our revenue by approximately 1.7% in 2019. Turning to slide 14, we show our adjusted EBIT and adjusted EBITDA performance for 2019. As you can see, our margins have remained solid, but slightly lower than the prior year. Our adjusted EBIT was 340 million euros, representing a solid 10% margin. Adjusted EBITDA increased by 14 million euros year over year to a total of 498 million euros and continued to generate a strong margin of 14.6%. While the group did experience increases in raw material costs such as steel and resin, we were able to mostly offset these with customer pricing and operational efficiencies. We were also slightly impacted by the U.S. tariffs on steel, primarily in our FCS segment, but were able to offset most of this impact as well. Lastly, after accounting for the new IFRS 16 standard on lease cost treatment, our adjusted EBIT and EBITDA margins remain strong. It is worth noting the impacts of the new IFRS 16 standard on lease cost treatment improved our 2009 adjusted EBITDA by 37.2 million euros and in turn improved our 2019 adjusted EBIT by 5.5 million euros. Our stable margins demonstrate the strength of our business model and show our ability to flex and perform well in different volume environments. Segment revenue and adjusted EBIT margins are shown on slide 15. Starting from the left, our year-over-year FCS revenue decreased by 7.2% at constant currency to just under 2 billion euro. The decline in FCS revenue was largely driven by the impact of market volume reductions in the China market. FCS adjusted EBIT margin was a solid 10.4%. However, it was below 2018 by 150 basis points, mainly due to market volume reductions in China and resin price increases. Looking at the right-hand side of the slide to FTDS, revenue grew by 1.6% at constant currency to 1.5 billion euros. We experienced positive growth, particularly in China, where we continue to see the benefits from the transition of fuel tanks from steel to plastic. In terms of margins, FTDS adjusted EBIT margin expanded by 20 basis points to 9.4%. FTDS benefited from strong operational performance and product mix driven by the increasing complexity in tank design. Overall, we maintain our blended group margin at 10% for 2019. Our global product diversity continues to benefit the group's performance. This contributes to delivering margins broadly in line with our expectations. Moving to slide 16, adjusted net income decreased by 3.2% to 150 million euros in 2019, given the overall market volume headwinds. On the left-hand side, we have a reconciliation of profit for the period to adjusted net income. Our adjusted basic EPS per share is 28.9 cents. Given our strong results for the year, the board approved a final dividend of 5.94 cents per share. This, together with the interim dividend, gives us a full-year dividend of 8.96 cents, representing 31% of adjusted net income. The dividend will be converted to sterling on the dividend record date. Now, turning to slide 17, and importantly, cash flow, we generated 172 million euros in adjusted free cash flow in 2019, an increase of 17.3% over the prior year. This includes a 26.8 million favorable impact from IFRS 16. Cash generation continues to be a strong measure of how well TI Fluid Systems compares to any of our peers. Looking at the adjusted EBITDA to adjusted free cash flow reconciliation on the left-hand side, despite lower market volumes in 2019, our operations remained strong. We had a reduction in our interest payments resulting from our refinancing in 2019, which were partially offset by IFRS 16 lease interest. We saw a reduction in cash tax and improvement in working capital and other provisions. We continue to invest in the business with capital expenditure and research development spending. As a reminder, our electrification strategy involves primarily existing products, capacity, and technology, so we expect our capital expenditure and research and development expenses as a percentage of revenue to remain consistent with historical levels. Moving to slide 18, net debt at the end of December was 378 million euros, a reduction of 84 million euros from the prior year. Net leverage was 1.5 times adjusted EBITDA. We continue to benefit from strong cash conversion, which continues to provide the group with capital allocation options and flexibility. As would be expected with our business strengths, we continue to deleverage through cash flow generation. Moving to slide 19, we wanted to highlight a few actions taken in 2019 and additional levers available to continue our focus on cash. These actions demonstrate our business model's resilience and ability to flex cost. We continue to adjust our footprint and labor resources accordingly. As many of you know, we adjust our physical plant locations in concert with that of our OEM customers. As such, a few minor plant restructuring actions were taken in 2019 in Europe, North America, and South Africa as our OEM customers shifted production. Overall, the group remains committed to its resilient business model and its ability to flex its cost structure to meet changing market volume environments. Moving to slide 20, we set our financial outlook for 2020. Given recent market trends, we expect to continue our revenue outperformance at constant currency to be above global automotive production levels. We expect adjusted EBIT margins to be in the mid to high single digit and adjusted free cash flow conversion to be similar in prior years. We continue to reduce net leverage through strong cash flow generation and maintain a minimum 30% of adjusted net income dividend policy. Bill mentioned earlier the actions we are taking with regards to COVID-19 outbreak. It is important that I note that this outlook for 2020 does not include all of the potential impacts of COVID-19 outbreak, which is difficult to predict and appears likely to be a negative impact in the short term. So in summary, 2019 was a challenging year from a global automotive vehicle production perspective. Despite these challenges, we are pleased to be able to continue to show the resilience of our business model and the demonstration of our flexibility to adjust in different environments. Our revenue continued to outperform global automotive production, deliver solid profit margins, and strong free cash flow generation, which has positioned the group well going forward. So with that, I'd like to open the phone lines for any of your questions. Thank you.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. We will now take our first question from Gabriel Adler from Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the presentation and for taking my question. I'd like to start with your guidance. The EBIT target of high single digit actually seems quite cautious, given the 10% margin that you did in 2019 and the fact that you are not reflecting all the impact from the virus in your guidance. My question is on the margin. Can you discuss what the pressure points are here that mean that you're expecting margin to decline in a normal volume environment this year? My second question is just digging a little deeper on your market assumptions and your guidance. I understand that doesn't include any of the impacts of the virus, but if you could talk through your stress test scenarios that you must have run for different volume assumptions, that would be very, very useful, and also what your base case volume assumption is in your current guidance. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, Bill, why don't you talk about the overall assumptions in the market, and then I'll talk about the margins. So we'll kind of reverse the questions backwards, and then Bill start, okay?
Yeah, that's fine. So, you know, what we have historically done is followed IHS Global Auto Production Forecast, and their current forecast is for global auto volumes to be down 4.8% versus 2019. So if we take production volumes down 4.8% and we add back in what we believe to be approximately 2% or so outperformance, then we would have a forecast for 2020 that would be based on, you know, minus 2.8%, that being minus 4.8 plus 2 for 2020. We certainly, and so that's, for that reason, we know it will be difficult, for example, to replicate the 10% EBIT margin that we did in 19, and therefore we say high single-digit EBIT margin. So you can certainly call it cautious, but we think it's a reality, quite frankly. Now, I would also say that if you look at all of the other evolving forecast around 2020, 4.8% down in global production is probably amongst the most optimistic of anything that I have seen or read, in the last few weeks. Please know that this situation around COVID-19 is very fluid, it's very dynamic, and every day brings some new development that we have to deal with. So I would ask all not to get too specific at this point in time around trying to predict a 2020 outlook until things stabilize a little bit and we have a better idea of the impact, on global volumes of this difficult situation. Ron, you want to add to that?
Yep. Sure. Thank you, Bill. The only thing I would add to market volumes is when I read my remarks, I said that the outlook doesn't reflect all of COVID-19. I think IHS has baked in what they know in APAC. We feel that it doesn't bake in everything that potentially could happen going forward. So with that said, I'll move on to margins. On the margin front, I would say that our goal as a company is to manage a lost EBIT amount per lost revenue euro. So, for example, one loss of euro would be a goal would be to be 25 to 30 cents of lost EBIT. That's how we would come up with our margin contraction from the volume reduction, and that's how we would manage the business going forward. So you can do the math on that. So like 100 million of lost of revenue would be translating to 25 to 30 million loss of EBIT, and then you can do the calculations on the margin contraction. So that help you out, Gabriel, there?
Yeah, that's really helpful. If I could follow up, I understand the situation. I think what would be really useful for investors is to understand the discussion that you're currently having with your customers around the world. Can you give us any insight into what discussions you're having with customers and what visibility you have on potential production cuts in the near term?
Yeah, so, we have releases that we produce to, and right now we, have, as I mentioned earlier, positive developments occurring in China and Korea where plants are, up and running at pretty solid levels. We hope that continues, and we hope that the demand will come back such that, the products that we're producing and the vehicles that our customers are producing are going to be sold to end users. In the other regions, of course, particularly in Europe right now, you can imagine with what's going on in Italy and Spain and the closing of OEM assembly plants for a week here or 10 days there, those are causing, changes in our near-term production releases, and we are flexing to that. We're expected to flex to that. In North America currently, we don't see any changes in our releases, and so we are producing in North America, although you do have a selected OEM here or there that has decided to shut down for 1 week to deal with the situation at hand or to adjust their inventory levels. So as I mentioned, it's a very fluid, dynamic situation. We are working close with our customers, and we will continue to work close with them. I would say, we have historically produced product in a given week with the full expectation we would, ship a certain level, and then you could, realistically have the OEM decide not to take the product, and then we, do not ship the product. But generally speaking, the plant production operations have continued to, hold in for the most part in North America. Obviously, reductions in Europe, and you have China and Korea coming back.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate the detail on them.
Yep.
As a reminder, to ask a telephone question, please signal by pressing star 1. We will now take our next question from Michael Tydale from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Morning, it's Mike Tyndall from HSBC. I've got quite a few that happened. Just looking at outperformance in Europe in the second half, it looks like it eased a little bit versus the first half. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that dynamic. Second question, I'm going to try and avoid COVID a little bit here, but I know I'm going to end up there at some point. Just in terms of EV momentum, clearly your customers at the moment are dealing with other issues. Are you seeing any pause whatsoever, or is it, you know, that's the longer term picture, we need to focus on that, and therefore we just continue at pace in terms of that development? And then the last question is, I'm afraid, around COVID-19, and it's, I guess, can you just give us some stories about how you coped in China, what lessons you learned from China that perhaps as this rolls out across the rest of the world, potentially puts you in a better place to deal with it? If you could tell us that, that'd be great. Thanks.
Okay. All right, well, let me start, and maybe Ron will can add in. But I'll start with your last question and then work backwards. So, you know, in China, we clearly had an experience of, you know, the government asking us to extend the Chinese New Year, which had already been planned to be roughly 2 weeks down, by an additional 2 weeks. And so it was very strict compliance to, I'll say, you know, plant shutdowns for approximately 4 weeks in China, very strict adherence to employees staying at home. You know, we fully supported that and recognized that that was, you know, being requested an important part of containing the spreading of the virus. And I think China overall, quite frankly, did a pretty good job through the, you know, self-quarantine and mandated quarantine process to minimize the impact on their population. So that's, I think, the biggest lesson that we learned there, that, you know, a quarantine it was very effective there, and to the extent that other locations can implement that, that would be an effective solution going forward. We do know that our employees were, you know, very excited and positive to come back to work, and that's why we have a very quick, you know, resumption of our operations here in the last days, and we're very pleased to see that. And, you know, we're currently feeling somewhat optimistic about what's going on in China and in Korea. We certainly have looked at what we can do to contain that on a worldwide basis with all of our employees. And we're quite pleased, as I mentioned earlier, that we don't have a single employee affected, you know, as of today. You know, we're talking thousands of employees in just China alone by TIA Fluid Systems. But, you know, we've implemented basically a process where we focus on, I'll say, priority one, the humanitarian aspect of this, and then number two, our economic response plan. And so, you know, putting in place things like the ban on travel globally and domestically, and implement the work from home where feasible, and you know, shutting down our visitor policy, along with, you know, strict plant operations protocol, with screening our employees coming into the plants through things such as temperature checks and self-assessment, and increased disinfecting measures really allow us to keep a safe workplace and to, you know, honor the priority one being the health and safety of our employees. And then we are simultaneously implementing the toolbox that we have used in the past when we have such a, you know, economic downturn in terms of the economic response plan. And so we're convinced that those actions will help us with cost reduction and cash preservation as we manage through this this difficult situation. Now, on the EV momentum, there's no real change in our OEM's focus on EV and EV launch. Yes, certainly today we're focused on production challenges due to this dynamic situation in COVID-19. But as EVs and the commitment to EVs and hybrid vehicles is a long-term play and long-term investment, there's no change in that momentum. And then on your first question around the outperformance in Europe, I think what you saw in the second half of 19 was, in fact, many of the new emission standards being met by OEMs and production volumes generally increasing, which then had a positive effect on our business as we were sort of, held back, if you will, a little bit with some of the issues that were prominent in 2018 in the first half of 19. But I'm convinced that those issues around the new standards are behind us now, and therefore we should, continue to see the benefits of that in the European region, of course, setting aside any impact from COVID-19. Ron, anything you want to add to that?
No, Bill, very good. Nothing to add.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
As another reminder, to ask a telephone question, please signal by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. There appears to be no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn the conference back to the host for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you, operator, and if there's no further questions, and in closing, please know we are navigating through these challenging times, and I remain confident that we will continue to take the appropriate measures to safeguard our employees and to get through this from a business standpoint. Thank you today for your time and attention, and with that, operator, please disconnect the call. Thank you very much.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.